Amen. You may be seated. If you will, tune your eyes and ears to a word from our pastor.
Morning, lifers. Week 3 of Missions Month. I sure hope you've enjoyed the ministry so far with Teen Challenge 2 weeks ago, Jeff and Tanya last week, and this week it'll just keep rolling as we welcome Lisa Russi to be our guest. You're going to enjoy her so much and hear just God's heart through Lisa. It's God's heart that I want to talk to you today about. Why do we do this? This missions thing. Why do we spend so much time and give money to missionaries around the world? Well, God changed my life and changed my heart and changed our church 30 years ago. It was in 1993 that I became the senior pastor. And I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. I was just learning. And 6 months into that, so technically it was the winter of 1994, we had a problem. The church administrator came into my office. I was sitting in the pastor's chair only for 6 months. And she said, I need to talk to you. And with her, she brought a yellow legal pad of paper, and that she had divided it down the center, two columns. One column was money we had available to us in the bank. The other column was our expenses. It was only about, it was just a few hundred dollars that we had available to give or to cover our expenses. And the other column was quite long. There were lots and lots of items that we needed to cover. And she said, what are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know. She said, well, you're the pastor. You've got to figure this out. So I started looking down that list of expenses. And I saw a few things I could cut. But then, you know, I got to my own salary. Said, I'm not cutting that. We needed the lights to stay on, so we didn't cut our PG&E. You know, the basic things. I got down to the missionaries. And I knew that at that time, we were only supporting each missionary $5 a month, maybe 10 at the most, for a total of about $600 a month. That we could really use that $600. And I thought to myself, is a missionary really going to miss $5? Really? I mean, it's a cup of coffee. Maybe back in that day, it was 2 cups of coffee. And I thought, we can make that up easily. So let's cut the mission support this month. And I went down the line, balanced it all out. I guess I'm a good senior pastor because I fixed the problem. Well, that Sunday when the offering numbers came in, it was terrible. It was as if just the offering dried up. And wow, this is a problem, but it's an anomaly. You know, next week, I'm sure the people are just going to make up their giving the following week. It was just, you know, a fluke. That second week, it was as bad or worse than that first Sunday. And I, what is going on? I was confused. I mean, where's the faithfulness? And I was just very confused and now, you know, kind of more than concerned. Third Sunday, same thing. 3 Sundays in a row where the offerings just dried up. And it was as if the faucet just got turned off. And at this time, I'm very, very, you know, just like, I'm going to lose my job over this. This is terrible. So I did what I should have done at the beginning. So I better pray about this. And so I just went to prayer. I said, God, I need your help. What is going on? You need to give me direction and guidance. And God just speaks to me in the way I know his voice. And he just speaks very direct. And he said, what'd you expect? And that was confusing. I had no idea what he meant by what'd you expect. I said, Lord, what, you know, explain. Says, you cut my heart. Says, what'd you expect? If you cut my heart, you cut missions. It doesn't matter if $5 a month or $10 a month is going out. It's the heart. Says, when you cut missions, you cut my heart. How can I pour into you and to your church if you don't have my heart? That changed my life. I went to the board that Saturday. We had a board meeting and I confessed to them what I had done. And they heard me. And I said, if this is really God's heart, what we're going to do is we're going to triple our missions giving. And we're going to have our first missions emphasis. And that was the first one in the winter of 1994. That missions emphasis, we did faith pledges just like we're doing right now. And we've done every year for the last 30 years. That we raised the $1,800 that we needed to go out to our missionaries. And since it's pledges, we removed that off of the general fund budget. So in God's wisdom, we were able to fix the problem. And ever since that day, every single year, we've increased it, increased it, increased it, increased it. And God has continued to bless year after year after year. Here's what I know. My life is built on this. That when you obey God's heart, he will work through you in ways you could never imagine. With your personal finance, with your all of your supply, God will be faithful. And this is why we do what we do every year for missions, because it's his heart. He wants to embody. He wants to indwell Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every single person on this planet. And it's up to us to make sure there's supply so missionaries can do that. Lifers, be generous. It's God's heart. And you just watch what he'll do when you honor him. I'm excited to see what we're going to do this year. God bless. Have a great Sunday. And let's watch another short video about Convoy of Hope. And how we can be more involved in what we can do through them to touch the world with God's heart.
Good morning. I have the privilege to pray for the offering, and then I have some information for you about Missions Month. So let's start by thanking God and praying for our offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, and it's a privilege to partner with you in furthering your kingdom around the world. Lord, as we bring our tithes to you, Father God, that you bless them and you send them out for your glory. And we just thank you and we give you honor and praise today. Amen. If you brought your offerings today, I should have mentioned this before I prayed, there's kiosks in the front, there's a couple in the foyer, or you can give online. But I just want to share a little bit about Missions Month with you before we go on and hear from our guest speaker. As you know, every Missions Month, we ask you to fill out a pledge card. And that card indicates that you're going to donate money every month, and then we give that money to our missionaries. We don't keep any of that here. That all goes out. And this year we have a second ask for you. This year we're going to take our One Day to Feed the World offering during Missions Month, which is not something we traditionally do. We usually do that, if you remember back, we usually do it around kind of Thanksgiving. But with Pastor Greg's sabbatical, we had to do some shifting. So next Sunday, come prepared for the One Day to Feed the World offering. And what we're asking you to do is calculate one day's wage and bring that, put it in a tithe envelope, mark it one day to feed the world. That money goes to Convoy of Hope, and they use that to feed hundreds of thousands of children all around the globe. Children who would not have a meal at home get fed at Convoy Feeding Centers. They get discipled. They share the gospel with them. And it's just a phenomenal program. We're going to have a special speaker next week who's going to share more about that, but just be prepared to bring that offering next week. The second ask is we are asking you to fill out, make sure I'm not holding it upside down, a pledge card. You may not be aware, some denominations pay their missionaries a salary. The Assemblies of God asks missionaries to raise their own support, and that's what they live on when they are on the field. And so the money that you give us in pledges, we send out to the 81 missionaries who are listed in the brochure every month. And that's how they support themselves while they're working on the field. So right now, it's only been 2 weeks. We're just under 20% participation. Our goal is 100%. And typically, Pastor Sean was asking me, is this kind of a typical trend? I was like, yeah. It'll all come in at the end. Don't worry about it. So, but if you haven't filled out your pledge card, please do that today. You can either do a physical card or you can go to our website and it'll say missions giving and you can click that. And there's a virtual pledge card. Or if we have your cell phone number, you got a text message this morning. So those are our two asks this month. One day to feed the world offering. We're asking you to make a missions pledge. And before we go on and introduce our guest speaker, I am going to dismiss the kids. So kids, you can get up. Marcus is over here. I'm not sure who. Looks like Dennis. It's very bright up here. It's hard to see. So I'm not sure who's taking the kids out. Jonathan. Thank you. All right. You guys are going to have a great Sunday. And while they're out there, we are going to hear this morning from Lisa Rusi. Lisa is one of our missionaries on the field. She's serving in France, and she is working with victims of human trafficking. Come on up, Lisa. We're going to have a great Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you. I was remembering the last time I was here, I was in this corner, and there's like 9 of us allowed to be here. So if you saw me in 2020 on video, that's the last time I was in the church. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us, for showing us who to be. Jesus, thank you for showing us who to be as you came onto earth. And Spirit, thank you for guiding us and leading us. And I just pray right now, as we think about the word, as we meditate on the word of God, I just pray right now that you would just speak to us, because each one of us, you're going to speak to differently. And I just ask that we're open. And we say yes, even right now. Hopefully everyone in their hearts is saying yes. Holy Spirit, I want to hear what you have to say. In your precious name, amen. Well, in early 2020, this young woman named Lovely was standing on the street. And she was approached by our group of volunteers at one of the churches that we do ministry with in the ministry called Pearl Dupree. And we'd known her for about 2 years at that point in early 2020. And every time we saw her, she would tell us that she was going to leave someday. She would say, you know, in a few months, sometimes she would even say, like, in December, I'm going to be able to get out of the situation. But she was in a situation of forced prostitution that we call human trafficking oftentimes. And so this church that we helped to, we trained and helped to understand how to go out, and we connected to all the different social services and that kind of thing. The volunteers were out there in the middle of the night talking with her. And it was the same thing again. She said, you know, I'm going to leave. And so the volunteer said, that's great. We would love to help you whenever you're ready. Just let us know. And she said, no. This time I'm really going to leave. And I'm going to leave, and I know I'm going to leave because I'm pregnant. And so the volunteer said, okay, well, if you're serious about that, then here are the numbers you need to call. And, of course, we help with if you want us to come with you, if you want us to contact social services with you, et cetera, et cetera. And so that process began in early 2020. And one of the things is specifically in France, if you're trying to leave the situation of being trafficked, one of the things you have to do is be able to, you have to testify against your trafficker, which is a big deal. because a lot of times you could be threatened. And in her case, it was a very dangerous thing for her to do, so it wasn't easy. But another thing that you can't do is you can't be living with anyone else who's in prostitution at that moment. And they all live together, and so who are being trafficked. And so one of the gaps in services, for those of you, my first degree is in social work, for those of you know, one of the gaps in services is that there's no help to help them not live with other women in prostitution. So that's one of the things. Not only do we go in, we disciple, we bring spiritual care, we pray with people, all those things. One of the things we also help with is that gap. And if someone is trying to leave, and once they've started that process, we will help house them while they're trying to get out. So this is, again, early 2020 in that specific city. They have a parsonage where the pastors used to live that we will let women live there. And so she was put there, supposed to be just there for a few months, but it was 2020. So instead of a few months, of course, COVID happened. All of the paperwork stopped and came to a halt, and it took her a year and a half. And so for a year and a half, when she had to go to the doctor, she was from West Africa. So when she had to go to the doctor, she spoke her own language, but then she also spoke English, but not a lot of French. It was the church that came alongside her when she was going to the doctor. It was the church that helped her. It was the church that gave her something, gave her, you know, checked up on her, made sure she wasn't isolated during COVID, right? It was the church that when she did have that baby and the process started back up, would babysit her child. People from the church would babysit her child while she was going to the lawyer. And it, of course, at the very end, she was about to get asylum, basically. That's you. And then the French government will kind of step in and help with a lot of things. And at the very end, the last thing she needed was her passport. And she went to the pastor and she said, listen, I know I've had friends do this before. I'm going to have to pay a bribe to get my passport from my country in West Africa. And the pastor said, look, it was going to be 1,000 euros. And the pastor said, look, we're not going to do that. Not because we can't come up with 1,000 euros, but we're not going to pay a bribe. What we're going to do instead is we're going to pray. And so the church prayed. And in fact, I sent out myself and I think maybe even Joy, if you don't know, Joy and I have worked together in the past. We started this ministry together. But we sent out pleas for people to pray for this young woman, for Lovely, and for her passport. And so we began to pray, and we believed that God was going to do something. And of course, just a few weeks later, she comes back into the church with tears in her eyes. And she says, I got my passport, right? And so she's like, now she's got, you know, there's kind of like three ways that you kind of like find Christ. There's like the truth encounter. She's heard the gospel message. There's the community encounter. The community has come around her. And then this final thing, she has this power encounter where she sees that God is all powerful and he can do anything, right? He can go past and he can persuade government officials to do something without a bribe. And so she's got tears in her eyes and she's like, I'm just so happy that what God has done. And you know, I've been going by the name Lovely, but, you know, that was my street name anyway, so I want to change my name, and I want you to call me Mercy now, because God has had mercy on me. He has taken me out of the darkest, deep, like the most corrupt, evil place. He's brought me into a free place, but not just that, right? Because that would be amazing in and of itself, but he also gave me a family, a community. Even though she's totally from a different place, he's given her a whole community around her to help her and her son have a completely different life. And today, Mercy attends the church there, and her little son is in preschool, right? And she has a job, and she's moving on in her life, and their whole life is completely changed because of the gospel message and because of the church, not just the church in France, but the church here, because of you. And so that's the first thing I have to say is thank you on behalf of Mercy and on behalf of all of the women in France that have completely different lives and will have completely different lives because of your prayers, because of your support. So this morning I've been asked to talk about embodying Christ, right? And how, because of this ministry, we've been able to consider, like, how do we embody Christ as we walk around and go bring the gospel message to France? So the question is, how do we embody the beauty of Jesus Christ in the world today? And in order to do that, I want to look at the incarnation of Jesus. And that's just a fancy word that means when Jesus came and walked alongside humanity, right? And we want to look at this time when he walked, because oftentimes we talk about the death and resurrection, which are so important theologically. Please don't, you know, get me for heresy or anything. Those are totally important. But sometimes we forget about the incarnation. We forget about the moment. The only time we talk about it is like Christmas when we say Emmanuel, God with us. And then we kind of forget about the fact that he walked alongside people who were suffering. And he was very clear about what he was supposed to do. So we're going to look at Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. Okay, so this is what it says in Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. He came to Nazareth, meaning Jesus, where he had been brought up, his hometown, his home church, right? As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled," okay? And we don't know all of the rest of his sermon, but that is the beginning of his first public speaking engagement after he's been anointed for ministry. And essentially what Jesus is doing, as we would all do when we begin something, when we begin a ministry, or we begin a business, or we begin a project, we say, "This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you my mission statement." Right? I'm going to tell you what this is going to look like. And so that's what Jesus is doing. And in fact, so he goes back to his hometown, which is interesting because, you know, he also mentions at some point that, you know, a prophet is never received in his hometown. But he goes back to his hometown. And Luke actually chooses to even slightly put this out of chronological order in order to emphasize that it's his mission. It's Jesus saying, "This is who I am. This is what I'm meant to do." And it says that he found the place. Now, I want us to think about this. If you have your Bible or if you're looking at something, your phone, you'll see the little, postscript, and it shows you that it's from Isaiah, but it's not from one passage. It's from two different passages. It's Isaiah 61:1 and part of Isaiah 58:6. So we're gonna talk about it in a second, but I want you to think about the fact that he found the place, but really he's actually putting two different scriptures together. Okay. So another thing to think about when we look at this passage is it has a little bit of baggage. Sometimes scholars have too much to do, and so they just decide to argue with each other. And so people kind of argue about this passage, and some people will say that this is all completely metaphorical, that Jesus when he's talking about the blind or the captive, that it's spiritually blind, and it's those of them that were captive metaphorically. And we even sang something, and I think most of us were singing that metaphorically. Like, we were like, "I was an orphan." Well, we weren't there are some people here that maybe were orphans, but not all of us were, but we felt like orphans, or we were metaphorically isolated, right? And we came into the family of God. And so there is something interesting about that metaphorical reading. However, we have to think about what the first hearers, the first readers, were experiencing. So Jesus is in Jesus's audience. 80 to 85% were oppressed, specifically because of greed and injustice. Wealth was so such a small group of people who are wealthy that it was pretty much implied that if you were wealthy, it was most likely because you were exploiting other people. Okay, and so the majority of people listening to him were in a situation of chronic and extreme poverty. The idea that you're sitting there and you're thinking, "If I don't go work or I don't go do something today, I won't eat tonight." Okay, that consistent poverty situation where there is nothing stored up. There's nothing extra for the day. And so in our initial understanding, we can see that those first people would have been listening to this and hearing it as if it was literal, okay? So even though these verses can be read metaphorically, We need our and our initial understanding will give us a clue to where we fall in society. So for those of us who are financially comfortable, we will read this and think, we'll recognize that Christ is going to satisfy our spiritual needs. However, the exploited and impoverished readers interpret the verses to mean that Christ will literally meet their needs. He will literally set them free. And that would have been the original readers. And so we can see that in this passage, it's a both and. It's not a one or the other. And now I'm going to go back to the fact that Jesus takes two different scriptures and puts them together. We call Jesus a lot of different things. We call him the Messiah, the Savior, all these other things. For those of my artsy people in the room, did you know Jesus was a poet? This is a poem. It's called Hebrew Parallelism, okay? And so what Jesus is doing is he's putting two scriptures or texts together to create something, to tell us something really important. Okay, so it starts with anointing. First of all, he's being anointed by the Holy Spirit, okay? And then there are five lines. Okay, there's proclamation. He's going to proclaim the good news. Then there's setting the captives free. And so that is a justice thing, okay? And then he says that he's going to recover the sight of the blind. That's a compassion thing. And then he goes back to justice, set the oppressed free. And then he goes back to proclamation, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so in Hebrew parallelism, that's such a great word to say when you're preaching. Okay, in that middle is compassion. And so when you put whatever you put in the middle, in that middle line is the core. So this divine spirit-anointed compassion is the core. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm going to be led by the divine compassion that comes from the Spirit, and here's what I'm going to do. Justice and proclamation. Not justice or proclamation, because again, that's another one of those beautiful, arguments that you can get into. I'm going to do this to embody, to do what I'm meant to do here. Those two things are going to come together, and I'm only going to be led by compassion. Okay, and so Jesus, that's why the incarnation is so important. And compassion in Latin literally means to suffer with. Okay, and so that's just Jesus says. He comes in and he suffers with and he connects with and he interacts with, and we can always see over and over again him interacting with people who are suffering, people who are outsiders, people who need reconciliation. And so Jesus enters places of brokenness, confusion, and suffering in solidarity and vulnerability with those who are hurting. And that's why we sing Emmanuel, God is with us. And that expression is found over and over again where Jesus is moved with compassion. We see this. There's this one moment that I really love where Jesus is like just found out his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. And he's going up to the mountain to pray. And we all think, okay, his humanity, the humanness of Jesus, he's probably like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I just need to go talk to the Father. And he's on his way. And then there's people that need to be healed. And it says he was moved with compassion. And he stops doing that, and he gets moved to do this other thing, and in the end, he actually ends up feeding them as well, right? So this is this understanding. And so Jesus says today that scripture is fulfilled, and that word today is a continuous tense. So it's not just like in that moment, that one day it was fulfilled. It meant today and from now on, this scripture is fulfilled. And so Jesus fulfills this mission in his life. When John sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he's the Messiah, so there's a moment when John the Baptist is in prison. He's like, hey, go, he tells his friends, he's like, go find out if Jesus is the Messiah, right? And this is how he responds. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. So what he's saying is compassion, right, is leading me to do justice and to proclaim the good news. And so then, so that today doesn't just end with Jesus, though, right? It then goes on to his followers. While never neglecting or subordinating spiritual needs, Jesus calls his followers to respond to hunger with food, to nakedness with clothes, to imprisonment with visitation, to beating with bandages, and to injustice with justice. For example, in Matthew 10, Jesus sends out his disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Afterward, instructing them in Matthew 10:7 to proclaim, to speak that the kingdom has arrived. Even the Great Commission includes the combination of justice and proclamation. And this is a quote from a scholar. The Great Commission includes the obligation to teach converts to observe all things that Jesus taught his disciples. This means that demonstration of kingdom values and concerns comes within the circle of the mission of missional obligation. For this was the central theme of Jesus's ministry. So Jesus is doing compassion. So there's an expectation when he says, teach them to observe all the things that I've taught you. That includes all the things that he's been doing. And here's the even better news. Christ's mission didn't just stop with Jesus and his followers. It continues on till today. And I just want to say this. I want to stop and think about this because there's some wonderful books out there that talk about what Christianity meant for the world. Because it meant that people understood who Jesus was. It meant people's lives were changed. But as their lives are changed, as they're being anointed by the Holy Spirit, they are being called and pulled into compassion spaces. And there are things like foster care. You know, there were at that time period, there were people that would just leave their babies. If they couldn't care for their babies, they'd just leave them in the elements to die. And that's why there's even stories about that, like those people becoming gods, or like all the reason that there's like cool stories about that is because they're trying to ease themselves, like their own pain about the fact that they had to abandon their child. But it was the Christians that would take other people's kids and take care of them. Because they observed all things that Jesus was doing, right? There's all of these moments, there's all of these stories of how the world is changed completely. We shouldn't be holding our heads down as Christians, right? Because the world is changed completely. Compassion is something completely different because of who Jesus is. And so it continues to be fulfilled today through all of us. And this starts with the anointing of the Spirit. In our context, we go out, before we ever go out and pray, we do a lot of training. Everybody that goes, all of our volunteers have to have the recommendation of the pastor, and we do a lot of focus on prayer and anointing and believing that God is going to lead us, that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. There's times we get up to a group of people and we see that it's a woman and maybe it's a client or maybe it's their pimp or maybe it's their trafficker. And there are moments when the Holy Spirit says, go for it. You just go for it. Like, we're going to come in, we're going to talk to them, we're going to tell them who we are. And there are other times where we just know we're not supposed to go. And that's because we're being led by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is a special kind of compassion. This isn't just like the compassion of like, you know, like I'm just going to do good things. I'm going to make sure I got an Instagram to show everybody all the good things I'm doing. You know what I mean? I can put it on my resume, like all this. This is a Christ-led compassion. In fact, and the Bible is very clear about this. You see this in Luke 6:36. It says, be compassionate just as your Father's compassionate. It's this very specific compassion. Philippians 1:8, Paul is talking. He said, God is my witness that I feel affection for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Not just with compassion, but with a specific kind of compassion that is from the Spirit. And when we are all new creations, we have access to this divine compassion. I think you know where I'm going. I'm going to kind of challenge you a little bit. Hopefully that's okay. Hopefully you're like, yeah, but if it's not okay, I'm leaving anyways. But like, the thing is that like, I just want you to know, like, it's not about like putting something on you. It's about saying, okay, cool. What the speaker said today is I could ask the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's going to lead me. Like I'm just going to get something that's not like me, my normal, but I'm going to get something inside me. We'll talk about that. Like the word compassion, when it's talking about Jesus, literally means it's like his guts were turning. That's what the translation. So I can get something inside me that goes, I have to do this. I know that I'm supposed to do this. I know that I know. But it's not about putting something on me. It's about asking the Holy Spirit to show me those things and to follow that. And we all have that access as we are new creations in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit comes. We receive the anointing to do the mission. And then that mission looks like proclamation with Christ's compassion. If you're sitting on the street, and you're like, God, I need money or whatever it is that you need. And someone comes up to you and gives you the money and never says anything to you. You're like, that was from God. We have to give God the glory. We can't just do a bunch of nice things and then just like hope that they give God the glory and they know that's from God or that, because otherwise they're either going to say like, that person's a nice person, or they could be like, well, I was meditating and I was, you know, like, I believe the universe, you know what I mean? Like gave me that money, whatever. We got to explain why we're doing what we're doing. And give him glory. And so proclamation comes with that. We pray, we never, from the very beginning, women ask us, like, why are you here? What are you doing? That kind of thing. We're always like, this is for Jesus. Like, we're here. We want you. We feel loved by Jesus. We feel different because we have a life with Jesus. And we just, that pushes us to want to get to know you, to want to be available to you, to want to be your family, if you want it. But, you know, we bring that in, and we always ask them if they want, have prayer requests. It also has to do with clients and pimps. I'm going to tell you this. We have one time we had this really drunk guy, and he was like, we thought he was going to hurt somebody. You know what I mean? Like, there was a part of me that was like, what's he doing? You know, I always carry a knife as if I was going to do something. But anyway, it's a whole nother story. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyway, it's like, okay, so I'm from Chicago. There you go. So anyway, I'm from the suburbs, but yeah, it's from that area. Anyway, but he was kind of like rough. And at some point, and it actually wasn't even me. It was the pastor's wife, and she's in her 70s. But she's cool, man. She was like, he like dropped something, or he like knocked over a garbage can. She's like, pick that up. But then we just start talking to him, not proclaiming you're a sinner, like, because that would be proclamation, but proclamation with the compassion of Christ that's divine and led brought him to tears, talking about how at the end, okay, I want to talk to your husband. I'm going to schedule an appointment because I just want to talk about my life. Okay, that's proclamation that's through compassion. Not I'm right, you're wrong, but let me tell you what has changed my life because it's so important to me, right? And we've had another moments, you know, Joy and I were, you know, discipling these young women in the gypsy camp, and they're like pimps were like right there just like pumping iron, but like listening, and then you can kind of like hear him see him like get a little closer and closer, you know? And so we're just like talking louder, you know? So they can hear the gospel message, proclamation. And then of course there is, and that's one of our new initiatives. This is something that when I go back, I really want to do. Right now, by the way, we're five churches that are doing the ministry, even during COVID. Joy and I, I'm going to just keep saying Joy. Joy and I, we did a training, a new church started a ministry in 2021. And so we're now five churches. I'm going back to start a sixth church to help them to do this ministry. But also, we want to be intentional about witnessing to the pimps and clients. The clients are in their different kind of slavery. They're in a sexual slavery, but they need Jesus. Pimps, they also need Jesus. So we're going to do that. But and then finally, justice with Christ's compassion. Obviously, that understanding and that belief and that God cares about justice, that God cares about the outsider. And I forgot to tell you that I probably should have told you that I teach, like, as a professor, because then you would have been like, oh, that's why she's talking so much. But anyway, so God, I could talk about this forever, but justice, it's not just Jesus, it's the whole Bible, right? God is a God of justice. He cares about justice. Most of his rules, most of his laws are about justice. And it's really important. And then we become the extension of him. And so we need to care about justice. And so those things kind of come together. And so I'm going to, I want to lead us to this space to ask the question or to think about this idea of this mission. Because we talked about how Jesus does it, right? So he said, today this is fulfilled. And so it was like right then. And then it was like that week later. And then it was like a year later. And then it was his people. And then it's like centuries of the church who have done things like foster care and, you know, just different things like that. Children, you know, taking education of a girl, all this different stuff that's like connected to Christianity, right? And so all those things kind of permeate. And then it's today, like right now in 2023, that's called the Nazareth Manifesto. I know you want to know all these words. That poem of Jesus is continually being fulfilled. And it's being fulfilled through me, and it's being fulfilled through you. How many of you, this is not like a statement of my political, or not political, it's not a statement of like whether or not I like movies. I just literally haven't watched any movies because I've been so busy. But how many of you watch The Sound of Freedom? Maybe some? Okay. So I haven't watched it, so I can't endorse it or not. I've heard people say it's really good. But it's about human trafficking. But the thing is the guy was like a CIA agent, from my understanding. And like oftentimes he takes like these CrossFit guys, you know what I mean? And they go out and they're like, oh, yeah, rescue. Okay. I don't know anything about the ministry, so don't ask me about it. But I want you to understand something. When we get into this section, I want you to hear this. I really want you to hear this. The majority of our volunteers, we have some volunteers in their 20s, and then almost everybody else is over 60 years old. And we have at least a handful of in their 70s. And I want you to hear that, because I want you to know that we are always doing God's mission. And these are people that are one of my favorite volunteers. I don't know if I should say favorite, but anyways, you're not supposed to have favorites. But one of my favorite volunteers is like in her 70s. She was a businesswoman, like an entrepreneur. And she's a retired businesswoman. And sometimes, like a couple times, she's like forgot to, she usually, because we go to prayer meeting and then we go out, and she forgot to like bring her shoes. So she's like in heels and like a little scarf. So just imagine, when you imagine us going out, it's not CrossFit guys. It's like French grannies out, going out in the middle of the night to do God, to follow Jesus, to do his mission, to fulfill that scripture in Isaiah, those scriptures in Isaiah, right? To say, the captives must be set free, right? And so that's what we're doing. And I believe that all of us, every single one of us, look, missions is for sure, every single one of us, I give to missions, okay? Missions is giving. Missions is praying 1,000%. Please pray. Please take a prayer card. They're back there. I'll have some. Pray for us 100%. But every believer should be considering, what am I supposed to be doing through the divine compassion, right? What is God asking me? What turns inside me inside out? And I'm like, I have to, I must, I am compelled to do this thing. So the question is, what makes you, your insides turn with divine compassion? What is the thing that you are called to do? Who are the people? And I think sometimes people think like, okay, so I'm just, okay, either I'm going to call, like, and you know what? I'm going to call it right now. At least one of you, maybe two, maybe 10. God could be calling you to do like the missions, like to move your house and to go. This church has already sent out at least one beautiful, amazing missionary. You know what I mean? And just, you've equipped her very well too. And I also try to say thank you for that too, because she's amazing. But there could be other people that are like, I gotta, but the thing is it's not like missionaries just come up here and then you go, okay, like there's three people that feel called to missions. Everybody else, go on a mission trip once every 4 years and be really nice to your Starbucks barista. That's not what it is. It isn't. It's all of us taking seriously what Jesus said he was going to do and what it means for us. And it's not taking something on. It's not putting on a burden. It's saying, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm, where am I supposed to be? What is the darkness that you have called me to? Who am I called to suffer with? Where can I have solidarity and vulnerability with people who are suffering, or who need you, who need to be either the proclamation or the justice, or both led by the compassion of Christ? What is the darkness that you're called to proclaim and do justice in? So I guess I'm just going to end it like this. How is the divine compassion of Christ calling you to give your desires, your hopes, your finances, your time, every part of you, to proclaim and do justice toward others?
I hope you were challenged there. See, maybe you've been able to notice the themes of between the last several weeks of what God's doing. We're going to have an opportunity to just to spend time with the Lord as we always, or as we have been doing the last several months now. And the question, it's not about, God, should I give? That is beside the point. And I'll tell you right now, he's going to say, yes, absolutely, you should give. Maybe it's an amount, maybe it's where to. I just want to encourage you, do not let the opportunity go to give. And I can't tell you enough about it. This isn't a pastor saying money, money, money. We don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. But he needs your heart. And he knows that we're so tied to our pocketbooks. Everything revolves around that in this area. And it's a faith step at times to say, Lord, it's really hard to live here. But you've called me here. You've called me to give. Because see, if you were with Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000, and he asked you, how are you going to feed them? You've got nothing. You've got some fish, some loaves of bread. It is an impossibility for you to feed them on your own. What he was looking for was faithfulness. And faith specifically. To say, God, I don't know how that's going to work. But I trust that you're leading me into this. So I just want to encourage you today. The reality is that there should be no burden. It doesn't mean we don't walk through valleys, right? We get that. We do. But I want to encourage you before, if it's possible, if you got to leave, that's okay. We understand. We're not going to judge you for it. There is no condemnation here. But if you do have time, I want to invite you. Allow yourself just to ask, Lord, these questions. God, how should I give? Because the church, obviously, we're inviting you to give as in participation in what we're doing. But maybe there's some others that you'd like to give to as well. So let the Lord speak to you about that. But then it's also, God, if you haven't called me to the mission field beyond where I live, then how can I be filled with compassion and proclaim, God, your gospel in my mission here? Because if your mission field's not out there, it's wherever you go. Whether it's Cupertino, San Jose, wherever you find yourself. So I want to ask the Lord those two questions, if you would, and allow him to speak to you. So if you would close your eyes right now, if you have the opportunity to do so, and just imagine a beautiful landscape, whatever that might be. I'll walk you through a little bit of listening prayer. I'm going to speak about this in a few weeks. But I want you just to think about, where is a beautiful picture in your mind? And then imagine the Lord right there with you. He's right with you. And then begin to ask him the questions. This first and then the second. And just allow him to speak to you. Say, God, how should I give? allow him to speak to you. And then ask him, Lord, after you've received from him, thank him for what he's speaking into your life. Ask him also, Lord, how can I touch those around me in this place where I live, my mission field here? I just want to invite you right now to speak to the Lord. Allow him now to speak to you. As you're doing that, we'll have the elders up here. Maybe you're struggling through how to pray and what to do. We'll have the elders just to pray with you and walk you through this. And when you've felt you've heard from him, you're free to stay and just continue to seek him. Go enjoy the rest of your day. I just allow yourself just to spend that time outside of this sanctuary. Let this place just be a place of prayer for the moment. And just don't let this moment go by. Allow yourself to spend time with the Father. Holy, there. is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. You're holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead me in your love to those around me. Thank you, Lord God, for the words that you're speaking into our lives right now. Lord, that we can hear from you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to lead us and guide us. And I pray that you would today, Lord, that we would go from this place knowing that wherever we step foot, the kingdom has now come. Pray, Father, that we would continue to allow you to lead our lives as we go from this place. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, in all that we do, it's in your name we